Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Miguel Show Uncensored, where we talk about all things uncensored that we can't talk about on the radio because of the time constraints that we have during the four-hour broadcast. And I'm feeling a little under the weather here.
I feel weird that we have headphones on.
I know.
Why have we never once used headphones when we do this?
I don't know, but I like it better.
Okay.
Do you like it better?
I just think it's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah, it's
That's
fine.
All. It's, all.
It's fine.
A little different.
Yeah.
All right, so the whole reason why we're doing an uncensored podcast on a Wednesday is there was a big announcement made at 7:22 this morning on the morning show. And Holly, what was the announcement?
Man, the announcement was that I am getting divorced.
How does it feel like? Because I feel like now that we're on here, I can ask you more questions.
Please do, because here's the thing. I wrote out exactly what I wanted to say at 7:22 this morning. It went a little longer than we thought it was going to.
Don't put that on the public record.
I'm sorry. But that's the thing. Like, I had sort of planned the direction I wanted it to go. I don't even know how well that even came across or came out, because something like this is so difficult to sum up.
Yeah.
So what happened was I wrote down everything I wanted to say for the 7:22 on-air thing. I didn't write anything down for this because I figured maybe we could just talk through it.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I feel like that's how you do this sort of thing, is you sort of talk through it. Now, I think first things first.
When you hear that crackle, by the way?
Yeah.
Is that on the recording or is that just in my headphones?
I don't know. That's like old school radio.
Oh.
We are in the Dove studio. It's WDUV Light Favorites.
Okay.
Hopefully in 50 years, Holly and I will be on here and producer Jarrett will have died from a drug overdose.
Would you stop? Like, you, nobody's inside on that joke.
No,
yeah, I just realized that. Nobody knows that.
Like, he's not a drug addict.
No, he's not. Not at all.
Not to get off topic, but yesterday I got followed on Twitter by a rehab facility. So I really feel like, just randomly out of nowhere.
Jared,
so I really feel like this is coming true.
I would like to say just publicly, and Holly can attest to this, sometimes I know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but have I not predicted several major moves in our lives, Holly?
Yeah, you really have. Now, Jared, that's not to say you're going to die of a drug overdose. So please, like, let's just to give you some backstory. One time, Miguel went on this crazy tangent about what was going to happen to all of us. And one of the things he said was that poor producer Jared would die of a drug overdose after years of, like, battling an addiction. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, so what I wanted to say is that when you talk about these sort of things, there's no need, I feel like, to get into the nitty-gritty. That's just between you and your...
It isn't. And here's the thing. I won't. Because it's not anyone's business, unfortunately. Like, I share a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. And I feel glad about sharing a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. But the details between Chris and I, and what happened, what is happening, what that's that whole thing, that's really no one's business.
No.
I feel like, you know. And I feel like even if... When people fall in love and they decide to get married, you never hear, like, the nitty-gritty about exactly how that happened. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, I was thinking
right.
about that one time. I was like, when people announce that they're getting married and you tell the story, like, you tell the story about maybe how you met or you tell the story about the proposal, you don't hear all of the nitty-gritty and exactly what's between their relationship because it's none of your business.
Right.
But everybody wants to know what happened that led to a divorce because it's a sad thing, and nobody wants to hear that anyone's getting divorced, and I understand that, but at the same time, there has to be a little bit of respect that there's just some things I can't talk about.
I'm gonna ask you some questions, and, you know, obviously since we're best friends, I know a lot.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna ask, in if I were a listener and
okay.
I were curious, and you just say yes or no if you want to answer it.
Okay. I'll tell you if something is uncomfortable and I feel like I shouldn't talk about it, because let me tell you what I said on the air, if you missed it today, was that my number one priority here obviously is my daughter Maya, and so I am going to talk in this podcast as though she's in the room too, because eventually, if, you know, like, our audio lives on forever, and I don't want her to, you know, come across anything that she wouldn't be proud of, or even Chris. Like, I'm going through this thinking, okay, well, Christopher is going to hear this, so I want to make sure everything that is said that I say is respectful to both of them. Does that make sense?
Most definitely. Yeah. Are you and him friends?
Absolutely. Yes. And that's a big thing, because I feel so lucky that we are able to, I mean, I use the term friends loosely because obviously when you're going through a divorce, that's not something where you're like, this is my best friend over here. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's a lot of hurt feelings. I have some hurt feelings. So, you know, but we are friends and we're being, I mean, you never again know really what happens with other people's separations, but so far everything has been so amicable. I'm so lucky and blessed for that because I wouldn't want to go. I feel so terrible for people that have like a contentious legal battle that have to duke it out, that are just, there's mudslinging and things are mean. And I don't understand that if you have kids together. If you have a child or children together, you are going to be in that person's life for the rest of your life. Why? Because the child deserves both parents. And so I've never understood for, you know, you deal with what you have to deal with. And maybe there is a lot of hurt and anger there. You got to duke it out some other time and then come back together and be present for your kids. So that's what we're trying to do.
How did it come about? Or when, you know what? No, that's not a relevant question. When did it happen? How long have you known?
The decision was really made at the end of August. So it's been 2 months now that I've known and that the steps have been actually taken to make this a reality. But, and so when I say the end of August, I say that's when, you know, this is happening. Like, wow, this is a reality. But I will say that things have not been great for a very long time before that. And so, you know, what Chris and I talk about and, like, you know, our united front, because I think that what's also a really good thing between the two of us is that we do sort of have a united front in that, you know, what we talk to people about and what we tell people is that it was two people who just are not happy any longer being together. And it's not that we didn't take each other seriously or the relationship seriously, but I think that the two of us had such differences that that was one of the big things that started to become, you know, this crack in this bigger and bigger thing that couldn't be overcome.
When you say that there were differences, what do you mean by that?
There were very different people. And a lot of times that can be, that can bring you together, like the opposites attract type thing. But I think a lot of times if you come from incredibly different backgrounds, that gives, like, a relationship is very hard, obviously. A marriage is really hard. You have got to work on it. And I know that may seem, you might be rolling your eyes at me and thinking, okay, well, here's someone who's ending it, you know, and shame on you. But I know that it's hard work, but, and it's hard work even if you come from the same background and you're very similar. So adding to that making a marriage work type of thing with being from very different backgrounds and very different upbringings and also just prioritizing different things, that can add to the stress of trying to do that. Does that make sense?
No, it does, most definitely. What do you think...
Jared had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you this. Do you think the move down here made the process more, or brought it up more, I guess you
could
say? That's
a good question.
And let me give a little backstory here, is that you were married, Holly, for 5 years, correct? Mm-hmm. And you were together 2 years before that?
Yes.
So a total of 7 years spent together, and you two met in Panama City back, like, when I met the both of you, not to insert myself into the story.
No, interestingly, and I will talk about that eventually, you do play a big role in the story. Not for a bad reason. I mean, it's just part of the story, I feel like.
Yikes. But I met I met you and started living with you, like, maybe a month after you two had just had your first couple of meetings.
Yes.
And so I've seen the whole thing from beginning and the whole process.
Yeah.
So just to give a little backstory on the timeline of how long have you two been together.
Yeah.
But... it, like Jared said, is that a cause? And your career too.
Oh man, that's hard. the move didn't cause anything. It may have accelerated some things that were not great in the in that, you know, were sort of not great anyway. It sort of exacerbated those things. Oh man.
What makes you cry right now?
Some stuff that I feel like I can't talk about.
Right.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Listen, this is your moment to cry it up, girl.
I know, I'm sorry. Man, the career, maybe, I mean, I live this career so much. So a lot of this separation, I take a lot of the blame for, because I do live this career so much. And that's hard for anyone who has a career like this, where it's not just like you go to a, and I'm not trying to say like a 9-to-5 job is easy. Certainly it is not. But it is a lot different when you can go to work and then come home and leave your work at work, and then you come home and it's a separate thing. My work is with me all the time. And I've tried actively since having Maya to actually make that better, where I don't do that as much, but I know that was a contributing factor. You know, I'm really sometimes too involved, I think, at work. And so here's the problem. Here's why I'm crying a little bit too, just as a side tangent. I do wish there were other things that I could talk about. And I know that's so frustrating for you as a listener to this podcast. I completely understand it. But like, there are things that I wish that I could, as a radio person and just as a human being.
Right.
It would be a weight lifted if I could talk about everything. Mm-hmm. Like, just lay out my soul and just have it out and let you think of me what you will.
Right.
But going back to my daughter and Chris, out of respect to them, I can't do that.
Right.
I can't.
And that's okay.
I know, but I feel guilty.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, because listen, at the end of the day, this is your life. And that's the number one thing I have always said on this show, is that what we do from day to day and on this podcast, you know, this is affecting us right now, but your life is what's going to be with you forever, and the people in your life.
Right.
And so in the past, we've had co-hosts, or you, Holly, you've had to go do stuff with your daughter, or other co-hosts have had to go the first day of school. And we've had bosses who've been mad, but I'm like, listen, that's your life. You only have one. And we submit so much of ourselves to our job that you have to be able to do some of those things, and including keeping some of your heart to yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's okay.
And I've learned too, because I've read a lot of books and done a lot of like those self-help journey type books and things. And like, one of the interesting things that I read was, you know, you have to, sometimes when you're sharing your whole you, you really do have to choose who you share it with, because not everyone is going to keep it and respect it and understand it. And you know what? If you don't understand where I'm coming from, that's okay. I just ask that, you know, you would listen. But then again, that's why you don't share with everybody.
Right.
So anyway, did that answer that question?
It did. I mean,
Yes and no. The move down here didn't really. I think that if we were still in Panama City, I don't know what, I would be in a really tough spot right now, because it felt almost like so closed in that I think I would be in a very dark place. I was able to kind of express myself a little more here.
Sure. Is Christopher going to move back to Panama City, or is he going to stay here in Tampa Bay?
Right now the plan is for him to stay here in Tampa Bay, because he loves Maya. He adores her, and he wants to be active and present in her life, and I want that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, she needs and she deserves her dad. So I want to be as open and able and willing to be close and work with him for her sake. And I think, you know, and actually we've talked about this, you know, his whole family and his whole support system is in Panama City. Mm-hmm. And so if we didn't have Maya, absolutely he would move back to Panama City and be there with his family, with his friends. But because Maya's here, he wants to be here with her. So this is another thing too. I have a lot of guilt, and I feel so sort of heartbroken for him. because I know that he's going through such a hard time too. And it's hard continuing to have to like push forward with this when, you know, my heart just hurts for him too. So it makes it more difficult.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
No, I'm not fine. I'm obviously not fine, but I'm. So yeah, he's gonna stay here.
I want to do a contrast here. I want you to describe the worst moment you've had so far, and sort of the best moment where you looked up and you were like, "This is going to be okay."
Okay. Okay, and I shared this on the air a little bit today, but. What absolutely stands out to me as the worst moment was, I think it was Memorial Day weekend. I spent a lot of time at work, and then eventually too, even in the time we had in Panama City after my daughter was born, I was spending more and more time at work because things weren't great at home. And so like, that's sort of what I did here too. I spent a lot of time at work in order to sometimes avoid what was going on at home because I just felt like I couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. I should have brought a Kleenex in here.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Anyway.
I'm sure Ann Kelly has some in here.
So what I will say is it was over Memorial Day weekend when we didn't really have a lot to do at work. So I was at home the whole time and I do a lot of thinking in the bathroom, like when I'm fixing my hair or whatever, because that's, you know, alone time.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can go take a second, blow your nose. It's fine. The podcast, girl.
No, no, here, blow my nose.
Wait, hold on. Here. Pause. I'll turn your microphone. Excuse me. I have strep throat. So I'm sitting over here drinking tea, trying to feel better because
I feel good. I don't know about you guys.
Hey, come kiss me and I'll make you feel real good after you have some of
the Uncensored podcast. We could do that.
Exactly. That's true. I can come down your throat with my tongue and give you this
Miguel,
throat.
Whoa.
Not this Uncensored podcast. This is a sad one.
I blew my nose and this went off the rails. Okay. So in my mind sticks out Memorial Day weekend. And we actually even had, like, Chris had some friends in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was not being honest with myself and I wasn't being honest with my family. And it just, I felt so closed in and just dark and awful about what was happening. And I was in just such a bad place with everything that was going on in my life, with all my relationships, like everything. It's just felt like everything was collapsing. And so it just, like, I'm a pretty strong person, I like to think, but I was like, there's a limit. I can't do this anymore. And so I just remember, and I have this, like, the worst shower ever. It's like a prison shower. It's like a 3x3 block. And so I'm in the shower, and I was just, like, sobbing. I don't think I've ever cried that hard in my life. And I couldn't even barely stand up. Like, I was just leaning against the wall, and it was kind of nice because it was cold, but then they had the hot shower, and I just felt like, I felt like, I'm going to just die. Like, I'm going to die from this. Oh, God. I'm sorry. It's so dramatic. But if I can maybe help somebody, that's helpful. Maybe that. But it just felt like I couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and there was so much happening, and it was just the worst moment. And I just stood there for as long as I thought was possible that no one would notice that, you know, I was gone, and start looking to see where I was. And so I cried, and I cried until I couldn't, literally had no more crying that I could do. And I just kind of like slunk out of the shower, and I thought, I have people over, I have to put on like a face and go do this. So somehow I managed to do it, and
just I was just one foot in front of the other, and the whole time, like when I got into those, because several times I got into those really low places, and I kept thinking about Maya, and I was like, and the really dangerously low places were when I was like, you know, other people could take care of her better than I can at this point because I'm bringing nothing to the table. I just felt so useless. But then somewhere inside I was like, no, think about grown up her having to be like, oh, I don't have a mom. Like that would be horrible. So I was like, pull your shit together, literally pull it together. Like you have her, she needs you. So I did somehow. And I was able to move on and get past those really terrible hard days. And like in the summer it would go back and forth. And I was just like, I just felt like I was carrying so much. And a lot of that time I don't even remember at work. So I'm sorry if I was like a complete mess. I apologize. I know some days at work I was not very pleasant to be around, and I'm sorry for that. But anyway, I made it through that. And then when Chris and I decided, yes, this was actually a thing that was happening, we're going to separate. And I didn't even like to say the word divorce for a long time because it sounds like something that happens to other people, not me. It just sounds like a grown-up thing. And by the way, this is, I feel like, the most grown-up thing I've ever had to do, and it sucks. Mm. But once that decision came down, I actually felt, I hate to say this, but I almost felt like some of the weight was lifted because it was being talked about.
Right.
It was being talked about. Things were happening that we're taking like big leaps forward instead of being totally still.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best day that I've had so far, oh goodness. There were some good days, and I say this, I said this on the air too, but when I'm driving home and I get to the place on, I think it's on Roosevelt, where they have that Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like far enough away from work and I'm not home yet. Like I still have another 10 minutes and I just feel like I can kind of just breathe in that space by the Marriott. And
shout out to the Marriott. Providing that happiness,
providing
girl.
That good space. And I think, I wrote this down. Oh gosh, I have so many things I wrote down that would be interesting to share one day with people to tell you like you can get through this. But I wrote down in my notes on my phone, remember if I ever meet Walk the Moon, the band, I said, if I ever meet them, remind me to thank them for getting me through this, because that song Shut Up and Dance came out when all of this was really like, my world was like collapsing. I felt like, and regardless of how shitty I felt, if I heard that song, I would be like, God, life can't be that bad. Like, this is a great song. It puts out stuff like this. Life can't be that bad. So I heard Shut Up and Dance, and I was like, as miserable as I was like, well, I do like this song. So I was actually in a good space that day, and I was able to turn it on and be like, I can breathe. I can breathe, and I'm going to be okay, and this is fine. But then additionally, what I'd like to add to that is at the Taylor Swift show this past weekend, when we were on stage in front of all those people with all those signs that loved the station, and the ones that made Miguel and Holly saw, like they had our damn faces. I was like, because you know, starting a new job, I'm sorry if this is going long.
No, you're fine.
Like starting a new job, because in Panama City, it was so, the vibe that you got from that community, you always felt like they had your back and we had their back.
Right.
We don't have that yet in Tampa, and it's
we're still building that.
And go, because you're building it and you don't know who's listening or if they care. Mm-hmm. And so just to see that, it kind of made me feel like we, in our profession, are going to be okay too. And that was just like a really nice, uplifting moment. So that was a good day for sure.
I have known you for a very long time, and I've always known that you are a strong person, but I think it's safe to say that outside of the stuff you dealt with, like when your mom went through cancer and you had to take care of your brother when you were really young, that it's been pretty easy go lucky, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and
well, that's a good thing.
I was going to say, too, I was very young when that happened. So right. That wasn't even like an option where I was like, I better soldier through. It just right. seemed like you just, that was what I did.
Yeah, you yeah. just do that.
Yeah, my life really I've been so lucky and blessed to not really have a very difficult life.
And that's a great thing. Life. God, I'm jealous. I think that's wonderful.
I have like white guilt. That's what I have. Old white bitch with her easy ass life. Ain't no to struggle. So.
But what I think is sometimes more amazing is when you are an adult and when you have so many pressures where you can't just not come into work
right.
because you have to make money. Like when you're younger and stuff happens, like it's perfectly fine for you to throw a tantrum and to be frustrated and to lash out. But when you're an adult, you can't.
No,
you're
and you restricted. Can't just not show up to work.
Yeah.
Like if you don't feel like I felt low and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, put it aside because it's not even an option not to show up for work.
Right, exactly. And so I commend you once again for
Thanks.
Doing that. I mean, for just, I mean, because in the little shit fucks that I've been through,
oh.
like, and just, you know, breakups and whatever, which
it's
nothing
not
compared
little.
To this.
It's not little.
But
it's
I mean, the emotional depth of it, even, you know, even we wouldn't like to compare emotional depths, but I mean, it's not to what you've gone through. But I've been like, I just want to just go crazy, you know. But to go through this and to still come in, and that's why I just really want to impress upon you, the Miguel Show family, or whoever's listening, is that we our job literally in our contract almost says your job is to make people smile for 4 days, for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't want to do that. Sometimes you want to be miserable. You want to listen to Adele, Hello, over and over, and
yeah.
you want to cry your eyes out in the shower.
Yes.
But you have to put it aside, and that's a hard fucking thing to do every day when you're going through this for so long. So I just want to tell you and say thank you, because not a lot of people can do that. And that's why I feel so proud to call you one of my best friends and my co-host. Because you put your shit aside, and it's so hard to do that, and you did the goddamn thing. And if there's one thing to take away and to be proud of, is to say that when people say Holly O'Connor is the utmost professional, you fucking proved it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do they say that?
They do. I say it. At least I say it.
I'm impressed. Well, thanks. That means so much to me. It really does. I can't even tell you. And thank you for being here. Do you have something to say, Jared? Because I feel like you had
a hand
raised.
Well, I was going
to
say, I mean, you could almost say fuck it at times and go, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to show up to work today.
True.
Because me and Miguel, we're at a different place. Mm-hmm. We don't have what you have. You have someone you actually have to take care of as well. Mm-hmm.
That's
if
the other part
show
of it.
Up,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone doesn't get toys or someone doesn't get any mac and cheese. Like, you gotta show up here.
I know. And like, that's the second part of what's hard too, because when you do have a kid, like, it would even be one thing to like, okay, I can drag my butt out of bed for 4 hours a day and put on a show and then go home and crawl under the covers
right.
and just spend the rest of the day in silent misery. Guess who doesn't understand that? A 2-year-old.
Yeah.
She's like, "Mommy, did play toys with me." I'm like, "Yes, girl,
let's do it."
Like, oh. You can't be off. So right. really, you can only be off between the hours of like, you know, 8 p.m. and the next morning at 3:40 when the alarm goes off, or in the shower, like I said.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the other thing that Jared that really kept me going was making sure that she was fed. And I do have my mom who lives with me. So I mean, mm-hmm. thank God for that, because I don't know. So. Thank you for bringing that up, Jared. And thank you, Miguel, because let me tell you, person listening to podcast, is that Miguel knows all my shit. And not once has he side-eyed me, given me grief, questioned anything. So thank you for being like a soulmate to me and just allowing me to be crazy for a bit, I guess. So thank you.
Of course.
I don't know who. I don't know what I would have done. I don't know.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
So thank you.
I'm sorry it's not called the Miguel and Holly Show. I'm sorry.
I appreciate it.
Well, do you have anything else?
I don't know. Is there anything else pertinent?
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway that I want to make sure everyone knows is that Chris and I are okay. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, healing that's going to have to happen and hurt, I know. And for our families, too. And it's such a hard thing for your families, you know.
Yeah.
They want the best for you.
Of course.
So it's hard. And I want the best for his family. And I would hope that he would want the best for mine. I'm sure he does. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say to them, if they happen to listen, that, you know, I will always, that's, my daughter is your family. Like, I would expect you to, you know, we're all a big family. Mm-hmm. Here's interesting that I thought a while back. This is just us redefining what family means. That's all.
Sure.
Gosh, I can't even, my nose is so stuffed up.
It's the new normal.
It is. Yeah. Like, you just have to reconfigure what normal, what family means. But the other thing that I wanted to say is that, you know, Chris and I are going to be okay. Chris is going to be okay, and I will be okay. I happen to think that this is going to be the best thing, certainly for both of us. I really do. But I just want you listening to know that there's nothing that's, you know, it will be okay. We'll be okay.
I think that's it.
Yep.
If you have any words of encouragement, you can always reach out to Holly.
Yeah.
Radio Holly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of people are like, well, I didn't want to bring it up because I want to, like, you can bring it up if you want to. I mean, you can ask me anything you want to.
I mean, is it awkward if you're, like, in the bathroom here at Cox Media Group?
Yeah, probably don't.
Like...
Well, I mean, if you just want to, like, give a hug in the Cox Media bathroom.
Okay.
But if you want to send me, like, a private message with any questions, I'll decide whether I want to answer it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any questions, you can certainly ask me that.
Or advice.
Sure. Absolutely. Like, I'm open to receiving those things. If you want to, if you have something not so nice to say to me, that's okay too. Like, you can reach out to me with anything. I obviously reserve the right to choose whether or not I respond or answer or what kind of answer I give you, but I welcome you to do it. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. Hugs in the bathroom after this.
Yeah, I want to go hug in the bathroom.
Which bathroom?
Yeah.
Let's do stall 3 in the men's room.
The men's room?
That is the big stall.
Yeah.
That is the deluxe stall.
It has a sink in it.
You can almost call it the Marriott of stalls if you'd like.
It's your new happy place, Holly. It's your new happy place.
Men's room?
Oh, dear. Okay, this is awkward. All right, we'll be back next Monday for an Uncensored Podcast. Bye.